Now, there's many things that we can talk about. You can talk about Pilate, how many times he said, "I find no fault in it." Pilate started, and he said, "Behold the man." Behind he finished, he said, "Behold your king." You can look at the religious people. You can see all, can somebody adjust this mic? If you just adjust it, adjust your mic, just a second. Was the truth for bringing Jesus before them, and that was he claimed to be the Son of God, and that really upset Pilate. And so when we look at Easter, we can see that human nature has never changed. It's just as corrupt today as it was by then. But today I want to just talk about two things. The first part is the untold story of Easter, and the second part is what happens the moment you pass into eternity. And I'm going to go through the Bible, and I'm starting with the book of Job in chapter 10, and I'm reading for the first 5 verses, and this is Job speaking. And if anyone knows their Bible, they know that Satan got permission from God to afflict Job. And so Job is saying, "My soul is weary of my life. I will lay my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress? That thou shouldest despise the work of thy hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seeth? Are thy days as the days of a man? Are thy years as man's days?" Job is making this complaint to God. But I can guarantee you, the voice and the words that he's speaking are not his own thoughts. He will be speaking those thoughts again planted into his mind. Because what we have going through Scripture is the accusation of Satan before God. What is his accusation? His accusation is, do you live in a body of flesh? Do you have eyes that men have eyes? Do you see as a man sees? Are your days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? And so the accusation is made by Satan to God. What do you know about living like Job is living? What do you know about the pain and suffering he's been through? What have you experienced? You know nothing. You have no idea what he's been through. And so the accusation is from Satan to God. And Satan is the accuser of rebellion. But he's more than the accuser of rebellion because he goes out in front of God's face and he accuses God face to face. That's how bold he is. He's got a heart of stone. He has no compassion whatsoever. You look at the greatest wickedness that takes place. Where does it come from? That is Satan, because he hates God's creation. And so the scriptures right away is telling us there's accusations given to God. And we find that when we go to the book of Zechariah in chapter 3, that these accusations continued. And it said, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" From the prophet Haggai, we learn that Joshua the high priest is one of the leaders who came back to Jerusalem from the captivity of Babylon. And the Bible says here he is standing before the angel of the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord is the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He appeared to many people in the form as the angel of the Lord. And it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And he is standing there. And what do we have? Satan is an adversary. And he is resisting the high priest. And he's accusing God and saying, "Look at your high priest. Look at the dirty garments that clothed on him. Look at him. Look at his condition. What do you know about his condition? Look at him. You call him a high priest. You've given him this position." And the accusations are going before God. But I want you to notice something very, very important. In Zechariah 3:2 it said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke you." Now this is an amazing scripture, because we're taken into heaven to the Godhead. And we're taken and we see the accusations of Satan being made to God himself. And Jesus turns around and says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." In heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, did not rebuke Satan. We get a story in the book of Job. Remember, in the book of Job, in the book of Jude, the angel was getting the body of Moses, and Satan was resisting them. And the angel said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." And so we see here, it's an amazing scene in heaven, where between the Godhead and Satan, Jesus never rebuked Satan. And before the incarnation, Satan is mocking God. Because he's mocking, like, "What do you know about these people's experiences? What do you know about living in a body of flesh? What is your experience? Have you ever been tempted? How do you know what it is to be tempted? And to go through trials, to go through pain, go through suffering, to lose your loved ones, to be afflicted with diseases? What do you know all about that? You're sitting up here in your ivory palace." But in Philippians 2:7 says, "But Jesus made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And we're talking about God here. We're talking about the living God. We're talking about the creator of this world. We're talking about the one who gives you your life and your breath. We're talking about the one who holds everything together by his power. And it says here, he made himself of no reputation. That's really humbling yourself. That's going down to the very most, made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as a master. He didn't come as a ruler. He came as a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. He was made in our likeness. And being made in our likeness meant that he could feel the pain that you feel. Being made in our likeness, he could go through the temptations that you go through. And it said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. God humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when we go to Hebrews 2:10, it says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Think about this for a moment. To make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. The Bible also tells us that Jesus was sinless. There was no sin found in him. Even when Satan came to tempt, he found nothing in him. He was perfect, he was God, he was sinless, but the Bible said he had to be made perfect through suffering. And Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. Jesus suffered more than any other man. Jesus experienced things that you and I have never ever experienced. And it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus was sinless. He was God manifest in the flesh. But what was it he had to go through? The Bible said he had to learn obedience. Why did he have to learn obedience? Because he's going to deal with the thing that Satan accused him of. He's going to deal with that thing that Satan has been mocking him for thousands of years. He is going to suffer and know what like it is to suffer pain and shame and agony and to be a man who is rejected and know rejection and to know people against him. And to know the whole of society against him, all the religious leaders, all the political leaders. He came to deal with Satan's accusation. He was sinless. But God was made manifest in his flesh. But he had to learn obedience. Because we're talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This experiences that we go through, Jesus had to go through them. And as a man, he learned what it was to be hungry. He learned what it was to be thirsty. He learned what it was to suffer pain, to suffer rejection, to weep when others were weeping. He knew what it was to shed his own blood. He knew what it was to give up his life. And the accusation against God is he sits in an ivory tower and he has no idea what you and I go through in life. And that was Satan's accusations against the Godhead. And you think when Satan comes and accuses you of something and you're going through a hard time? This is Satan going against the very Godhead, God himself. And Jesus came manifested in the flesh to deal with that accusation so that we can be set free and not go through what Jesus has went through for us. And so in the scriptures here, Jesus bridged the gap between the accusation, not only theoretically, the theoretical knowledge that he would have in heaven, to the actual experience of living in a body of flesh. So that is why the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, after Jesus' baptism, he was driven into the wilderness. And when he was driven into the wilderness, Satan came to tempt him. And as a man, just like you, just like me, as a man, he took the word of God, and when Satan came, he would say, Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Satan, it is written. And the Bible says Satan had to flee. What does the scripture say? Resist the devil. Jesus gives us an example. He gets it as a man, not as God. And so, in the temptation, but you see, there was also a prophecy. See, at times Satan gets so caught up with himself that there's a prophecy he should have been aware of. There was a warning to him. There was a challenge to him that he should have known. And in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 8, this is God speaks, he says, he is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Who is going to contend with me? And then he goes on to say, who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. So God already spoke and gave the declaration. Who do you think you're contending with? You're my adversary. Then you come near to me. I'm going to deal with you. And I'm going to deal with you in my time. I will deal with you in my way. And so the scriptures tell us, when Jesus died and was crucified on the cross, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, and he triumphed over all the powers of darkness. He triumphed over. And from that moment, the destiny of Lucifer and all the powers of darkness has been sealed. And the scriptures tell us when the full completion will come. It also goes on to say in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and he appeared. We know, particularly in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know in the garden, Jesus could never go to the cross without getting a full revelation of the sin that was going to be put upon him. Jesus had to know what he was going to face to go willingly. And the Bible tells us in the garden he sweated as it were great drops of blood. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, take away, but nevertheless let thy will be done. And as a man, the Bible says, he is as strong, he's in tears, and he's going to be saved from death, and he's fearing, and the angels come to minister to him. But even in that moment, he says, Father, nevertheless, let your will be done. And this is a reference to the cup that he was going to drink, the cup of the wrath of God on sin. In the days of the flesh, as in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows. We always think of Jesus, must have been a great person doing all the miracles, turning water into wine, feeding the multitudes, opening the blind eyes, raising the dead, cleansing the leper. But the Bible says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows. He was rejected. And the Bible also goes on to say in John, the cup which my Father have given me, why not drink it? Why not drink this cup of wrath? Why not drink and take this cup for sin, for humanity? Why not take it? Because he already knew that he had life and he had power to lay it down and he had power to take it up again. But in Psalm 75, verse 8, it says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. See, nobody needs to drink this cup because Jesus drank it. The dregs of the earth, the wrath of God poured upon Jesus. That's why it's so amazing that Caiaphas, Annas, the soldiers, everybody involved in the crucifixion, Jesus on the cross could say, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they'll do. The power of the cross to forgive sins, no matter how ugly and how deep and how mired you are in sin. The power of the cross and the shed blood of Jesus to redeem and to give you a new life and to wash you straight, the slate clean. But there's something you need to know. Jesus had to drink the cup. But you need to notice the wording. He is not saved from dying. And he's not saved from being dead. He is not saved, and he's not asking to be saved from dying. And he's not asking to be saved from being dead. He's asking to be saved from death. Big difference. In Acts 2:24 says, and then God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Jesus had the keys of hell and of death. And in the Old Testament, we find that hell is personified. Death is personified in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Hosea. Now, when something is personified, that means it is having the nature or the character of a person, or it is represented visually in the form of a person. And in Hosea 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In the Old Testament, it's personified. And Jesus said, I will be your plague. I will be your destruction, death. Jesus overcame death. Jesus overcame the grave. Jesus triumphed. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Why? Because God is announcing judgment on death and the grave. That verse of scripture finishes with saying, repentance shall be hid from mine eyes, because I'm going to destroy death and I'm going to destroy the grave. There is no repentance for him. And God is announcing the judgment on death and the grave. This judgment is given to us in the book of Revelation. And it tells us from verse 12 to 14, chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to the works. And verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. It is a comprehensive judgment, the work of Calvary, on death, on sin, on hell, and the grave. Jesus triumphed over all. Death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. Now the psalmist asks a question in Psalm 89:48. He says, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? So here's your question. What person that is now alive, which is all you here in this place today, and it says, shall not see death. There's a question. Ask the psalmist, says, what one of you is not going to see death? And any of you going to see, not see death? Jesus answered this question. Jesus answered the question in John 8:51. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If you keep his sayings, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you might die, but you're not going to see death. Why are you not going to see death? Because Jesus experienced death for every man. We don't need to experience what Jesus has already dealt with. What does it say? But we, in Hebrews tonight, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The crucifixion is Jesus tasting death for you. The crucifixion is that Jesus overcomes death, hell, and the grave. The crucifixion means that you do not need to taste death. Jesus is saying, if you keep his saying, if you love me, follow me, you will never see death. You will never see it. What does the psalmist say? Probably the most famous psalm that we have, especially for people in Scotland. Psalm 23. What does it tell you? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going to taste death. You're not going to taste death if you belong to Christ. You're not going to taste death because Jesus has tasted death for you. Hallelujah. You might see death, but you're not going to taste death. You're going to die, you'll never taste death. Because Jesus takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. Into his kingdom.
Amen.
Into his domain. And see, that is the work of the cross. And it's dealt with Satan's accusations for all these thousands of years. That he was up in an ivory castle, this ivory tower, looking down on a creation that he created, but could never experience what his people went through. And Jesus obliterated that excuse. He learned obedience by suffering because he became a man. He went through it all because of his love for you. His love for you is what drove Jesus to hang on the cross. His love kept him on that cross. We're all going to die, but we don't need to all taste death. We know Jesus will go through this shadow of the valley, but we will only see it and never taste it. And Christ's prayer is to be saved from death is answered because Jesus was resurrected, and that is the Easter story. He is alive, and he's alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. Jesus Christ has done everything. And the Bible tells us that on the cross he said, it is finished. It is finished. Everything I have to complete so that salvation can go to every man, woman, and child in this world is done. Complete. Not one thing was left out. Every T crossed, every dot, it was finished. He completed everything so that we can become the children of God. And the Bible tells us he gives us power to become. And that is the words of Jesus. And the cross makes it all possible. And so we stand today celebrating Easter, knowing that the God in whom we have trusted in is a God who has done all things well. And the God whom we believe in is the one who is going to take us home to glory. He is alive, and he is alive forevermore. Death and hell, the grave no longer is an enemy to for us who know Jesus. And that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we declare that this is Christ. Because it's to save people from a lost eternity. Who wants to be living for eternity in the same place as Lucifer, with his hatred towards mankind? But Jesus has done everything so that you and I today can know his love and experience his peace and know his power in our life. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come and bow our heads before you. And as we bow our heads before you, we take a moment just to think on all that Jesus has done for us. Learning obedience through suffering. Because he had to know what like it was to suffer. To deal with the accusations of Satan. He had to know what it was to suffer. Order to pay the price of sin, to pay the and take upon himself the wrath of God. So we just bow in your presence. And we ask, Father, that such light of God would shine upon us to let us know the truth. For your word said, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We want the light of God to shine in every heart, the revelation of the lens that Jesus has gone to so that we can be redeemed and be called a child of God. As Father, we just ask that that will sink into our being. Sink into the very depths of our being. Lord, that we will be so grounded that we will be unmovable. Because the love of God towards us surpasses anything that this world can offer.